The following Dominican University of California production has been brought to you by radio.dominican.edu.
This is the podcast of the Dominican Beat launch party that was held in Calarega Plaza to kick off the event to celebrate the newly redesigned online news journal, thedominicanbeat.org. Reporter and editor Chloe Becker introduced us to DU Beat reporters, and then they proceeded to interview attendees of the DU Beat launch party. We also heard about stories that DU Beat reporters have covered. And then Dominican Beat reporter Danny Weathered interviewed KNBR sports anchor Kate Scott about her experience in broadcast media.
You are listening to the live broadcast here at the DU Beat launch party. We have some reporters here that are going to be asking questions, and I will introduce Alex here. Alex?
Hello, everyone. I have President Navi Dhaliwal here with me, and I have a couple questions for you regarding the Gloria Steinem event yesterday. To my understanding, you attended, right?
Yes, I did.
How was it?
It was phenomenal. Gloria Steinem is an amazing woman who has impacted women's gender studies for years. So it was a spectacular event.
Could you just give us like a little overview of what happened and what you talked about?
There was definitely a more comfortable ambiance when you walked into Angelico Hall. She walked out. It was unlike any other lecture. She simply asked for everyone to come together and talk in a talking circle to really delve deeper into issues that affect politics, culture, and other aspects of a college career. So it was interesting.
That's awesome. I really wish I could have gone. I had to work, but from what I heard and from what I saw on social media, it was a great turnout and a lot of good feedback was given. So wish I could have gone.
But that's okay. You can read her book. It's On the Road by Gloria Steinem.
Also, we will have a piece in the DU Beat about Gloria Steinem. We have a couple questions that we personally asked her from our reporters here at the DU Beat, so you'll be able to read that in the newspaper as well.
Awesome. Thank you, Chloe. And thank you, Navi, for your appearance on today's Penguin Radio.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
No problem.
All right. You guys are listening to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. We have Syra Trejo here who will be talking about some of her stories she has put on the DU Beat. Syra?
Thanks, Chloe. I just wanted to say hi to everyone and thank them for being here. It's so great to see people eating pizza and, you know, mingling around. We see some people who have contributed some of the stories they want to see being covered here on campus. And as the DUB, we want to cover the stories that you aren't getting the information from. And some of the stories I've covered this semester, I'm really excited about. I have an op-ed piece on the Dominican Beat now about a festival in Mexico I attended in October, and I had a lot of fun doing that, getting interviews out, practicing my interviewing skills, and doing the camera at the same time. It is a video piece that's on thedominicanbeat.org. I'd love for you to check it out. I also have a piece coming out today about sea level rise and how it will affect Marin County and San Rafael in particular. We're all residents of San Rafael, and we live here in Marin County, so it's important for us to know what will go on here in the near future. I'd love for you guys to check it out. It will be on thedominicanbeat.org starting, I believe, tomorrow. So it's great to see everyone out here. Please, if you have any story pitches, please contribute. We have a table where you can sign, put those down.
And, well, welcome. This is Joaquin Cordero, a reporter also from the Dominican Beat. I was just wondering, Syra, how do you get your inspiration for these kinds of stories? And how do you go about starting them? And how do you go about actually starting to write them?
It's quite a creative process. I find something that I'm interested in and that I want to write about. You know, every time in college, we write essays. We write expository essays, and sometimes they're not the most interesting topics, but we find an aspect of that topic that really draws us in. And so I'll think of a story that I want to do, and if sometimes it's not possible. I've had times where I wanted to do a story on student retention and graduation rates, and it was just it wasn't coming together, so it switched over to another story. Sometimes when I'm, in this case, when I was traveling in Mexico, it just happened to be that I was at this festival. It was a religious pilgrimage festival, and I was able to interview people and get access to the cathedral and be able to take video there. But some of the stories just are what I wanna know more about. So I hope that people who see the stories wanna learn more about these topics as well.
That's interesting. And have you ever had what they call a writer's block? And if so, how do you get past it? And do you just stop writing the story for a little bit, or do you just keep going until you finish it and then go back and review it? I mean, how does that process work for you?
I think writer's block is something that really we all face at one point or another. For me, doing video stories, which I'm more leaning towards broadcast journalism, doing video stories is really an entire process of writing a script out. When you would think of writing for a print article, you'd write your article out, but this basically is putting video together, images with print, and that's your script. And I do have writer's block. I have to kind of go into more of a creative side, and I've tried to incorporate that into my writing and have more descriptive language there.
And you said about the video, so you take videos and edit it together and all that stuff for the newspaper, and then you also have a written piece that goes along with it, or is it just a video?
It is a video, and there's a written component to it. So a small little blurb that goes under it. As we go further into the world of journalism, we see that it's becoming more multimedia, so a combination of print and video, and even photography. So I kind of include both to give a different, I would say, aspect to it.
Well, thank you. Anything else you want to say to the followers and the listeners to Penguin Radio here?
We do have some great reporters that we've on this newspaper. We've all worked together, collaborated, and there's some great stories out there. I would highly recommend checking out Joaquin's stories he has on the DominicanBeat.org.
Hey.
Just check it out, and please follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
And don't forget, we are out here at Calorega with pizza, with cookies, with apples, with water, and
Kate's got too.
And Kate's got to want to come meet her. We have everything here today. You guys should come out and support the lunch. Enjoy.
Hey, everyone. You're listening to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. I'm Kiana, and I'm here with Tigas, who is a third-year political science major and a business minor here at Dominican University. And we're here to talk about a really cool internship that she had.
Hello, everybody. This past summer, I did an internship at in D.C. with the National Council of U.S. and Arab Relations. It was a 10-week-long intense internship where I got to go to a few embassies, like the Bahrain and Saudi Arabian embassy, and got to go to the State Department. I even saw John McCain while I was out there. So it was a pretty cool experience. And I've learned a lot about foreign policy and diplomacy and international affairs while I was there. And it just showed me how much passion I have for that field in particular.
And what kind of work did you do?
I worked under the Syrian American Medical Society, a nonprofit, and I just did research-based and data collection for the organization. And I also, we had seminars, weekly, bi-weekly seminars, where we had various academias and foreign service officers come in and military personnel come in and tell us about the international affairs. And that's mainly the work that the experience or the internship consisted of.
And do you see that leading into a career for you?
Absolutely. Yes. I'm trying to go back this next summer. I'm applying for another fellowship. And I'm trying to go back as hard as I can.
So it's something you love to do.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And also, you're president of BSU,
yes,
right? So you want to give them a shout out or let us know what's happening with that?
Of course. Shout out to Black Student Union at Dominican University. You're all awesome. We're actually having an event next week on Friday, November 20th. The BSU is raising $6,000 to build a house in Haiti with the New Star Charity organization, who is a nonprofit organization that helps build houses in Haiti by giving contracts to the Haitian people and allowing them to build it. So we have a big event where we're going to have African dancers perform at Angelico Hall, and we're going to have soul food. Tickets are $15 for students and $20 for non-students. So come out and support and help us make this a large event. So please be there. Yay.
Awesome. So everyone show up to that. I'm Kiana. I'm here with Tigas once again, and this is Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Don't forget, we're launching the new Dominican Beat, which is thedominicanbeat.org, and stay tuned for more. We'll be here for a little while, so come check us out. Free food, free drinks, and radio.dominican.edu.
You're listening to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. I have next to me Mari Pelleggi. She
Come
will.
On, Chloe, it's
I'm
Pelleggi.
Sorry. I just call her Mari. We're already on
I
that level.
Too many things. That's good.
I will be talking with her today. She is the faculty advisor, and she also helps us out and basically runs the DU Beat with us, which is great to have her as a director there. And she has some really great insights and is a really great mentor for us. So
thank you.
If you want to talk a little bit about the beat, and then we can go into some climate change.
Yeah, so the Dominican Beat, formerly known as The Habit, is in the process, or is in the process of transforming. And slipping in here with me is the fantastic, absolutely fantastic Jennifer. And she has been really responsible for the kind of changes that have been happening. She's been the liaison with another class, and she's going to, you ready? She's going to tell us about what you've been doing.
Yeah. Yep, so we have Jennifer Bellingham here on Penguin Radio here at the DU Launch Party. Jennifer is a junior here at Dominican University of California. And what do you kind of want to say? Anything about the web design and kind of the process you went through designing the web, and what steps you had with the design team as well?
So we've completely stripped the website, changed platforms, and redesigned everything. So it's a very modern and chic look compared to the cluttered look that it was before. So it was definitely a huge change for the Dominican Beat, and I'm very proud to have participated in it.
Do you think there was any actions as being a student working on the website that kind of benefited you in the way you redesigned it and what you were looking for as a student that would be attractive to other students looking at the beat?
Yeah, definitely. I think that we kind of have a younger view of things, so it's a little bit more modern, a little bit more simple, and I think that definitely is portrayed in the website and the design of everything. And we've really tried to keep that continuity throughout everything, logo, posters, promotions, website. And I've really been blessed to have a great design team with us, and we have worked really hard to kind of bring that new, younger, fresher perspective.
Yeah, definitely. And is there anything that you would say to anyone looking at the beat, or anyone that, you know, kind of wants to put any stories on the beat, what you would kind of want to see on the beat in the future or now in terms of just stories that you want to see that you think that would be really intriguing to get people onto the website?
I think that really this is going to be a student-based website, so we really want opinions from all ends of the spectrum. I want controversial topics. I want things that are going to be interesting. I want the student voice, because that's something that a lot of schools don't have and is really filtered. So I really want Dominican to be something that's really representative of the student body.
That's great. Yeah, I'm really happy to have that. And so Mari here is going to talk a little bit about climate change and some of the things that are going on around that.
Yeah. So so what's been happening, we've kind of got this climate change initiative at Dominican. There are 25 courses from across the university who are participating in this. And the goal is to begin raising awareness around climate change and to also get students involved. And so tonight from 5 to 7 in the garden room, that's 5 to 7 in the garden room, and there is free pizza.
More pizza.
Yeah, I know. So you get pizza all day long, you guys.
Because, you know. and so we're going to be in the garden room, and we have a student panel tonight. We have two presentations from the humanities that's kind of looking at climate change through that lens. And Chase Clow has been at the fore working with her students on this. We also have Ken Frost. So we've got students. Ken's over in chemistry. We've got students from his quantitative chemical analysis class.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Sounds complicated.
It, you know, but I'm one of the cool things is that they're going to kind of bring this down to earth and make it clear for us to understand. And I teach a class here on digital storytelling, and I have two student films are going to be presented that night. And Syra is one of the two students whose film we're going to be taking a look at. And Syra, you want to talk a little bit about your film and what your process was?
Sure. This is actually quite a big group collaboration on this film, and it's a short film entitled Rising Seas, and it is I worked with Sandra Ikiora and Isabel Panair. Sandra's actually here. She was on the radio earlier. We worked together to look at how Marin County and Sierrafel in particular is dealing with the problem of sea level rise, because we will be affected by it. And I hope you can stop by at the panel tonight and check that out. And that'll be released on the DU Beat as well.
It will be.
And that will be tonight, 5 to 7 in the Garden Room, am I correct?
Absolutely. 5 to 7, Garden Room, Climate Change and Pizza.
Yeah, who doesn't want to miss that? And for any other events that are going on around campus, on campus, having to do with anything Dominican related, you can look at the calendar, which is on the DU Beat. That will be on thedominicanbeat.org. So make sure you check that out. And that is online all the time, 24/7. You are listening to Penguin Radio. You just had an interview here with some of the wonderful reporters and directors of the DU Beat. Yeah. Hey, what's up, you guys? You are listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. This morning, we have one of our editors here, Danny. She will be talking here today with Kate Scott. And I am actually just going to let them go right ahead. I want them to have as much airtime as they can. And we have some really interesting topics for them to talk about. So, welcome to Penguin Radio. We are here at the DU launch party.
So, like she said, my name is Danny Weathered. I'm here today to interview Kate Scott. A couple questions that my classmates will want to know about you. You know, just going to be a basic interview Q&A kind of type of thing. So,
okay, no dancing. No,
I mean, yeah, you can get up and dance.
No freestyling.
Yeah,
no karaoke.
I mean, hey,
okay, that's good.
We can pop lock and do all that stuff.
That would not go well for me. It might go well for you, but
maybe, but we'll see. So the first question we have up is, what adversity did you face in the gender aspect of your field?
Oh my goodness, you guys are coming out of the gates hot, huh?
Yeah, real hot.
Wow. Ooh, I thought this coffee was hot, but that question is even hotter. Well, it is interesting, I'll say that, being a woman who works in the sports industry. I think I have it a lot better than the women who were working in this industry, you know, even 10, 15 years ago. You read stories and you see things on documentaries about what women face going into locker rooms and just trying to literally do their jobs, yeah, like a decade ago. It's crazy the progress that we've made. But it's still different, as I was just joking with you guys before the broadcast. I work at KNBR in San Francisco, mm-hmm, and I'm the only female who's on air. We have a couple of women who work behind the scenes, but it is mostly all guys. I work for the Pac-12 networks as well, and I've worked for CSN and NBC Bay Area and a bunch of other TV stations in the past, mm-hmm, and you're definitely the minority, just as a woman, not to mention whatever other minority groups you may fall into as well. So it takes some getting used to, but what I like to say is, you know, it's always strangely felt kind of normal for me,
yeah,
because I was a girl who grew up playing ball on my street when kids used to play ball in the street. And it was there was a ton of young boys on the street and me, so it was always me and all the guys. And then at recess at school, same thing, me and all the guys playing ball. So it's always just kind of felt normal to me. Now, that hasn't made it uncomfortable at times. There's definitely been some experiences that I've learned from. There was definitely some, let's say, advances early in my career when I was just so wanting to get into the industry that I didn't follow my gut and know maybe this person's not the best person to work with. But I learned from those experiences, and now because of that, I think that hopefully a lot of people just look at me as a sports anchor and a sports reporter and a sports host, not that girl sports reporter, yeah, or that girl host. Hopefully they just look at me as someone who works in the industry.
Yeah, most definitely. You said you talked about some experiences that you learned from. You mind talking about those?
Yeah, definitely. The answer was so long, I was trying to cut myself off. I know I work in radio. It's like, you guys can just give me the wrap-up sign, too.
No, you good. Go ahead.
Calm down. Stop talking, Kate. So when I was actually one of my first TV gigs in college, so I started in print in high school, and then I did more print at Cal, which is where I went to college. And then I slowly started to transition into TV and radio as well, because I wanted to be as well-rounded. And I was really interested in those parts of the industry as well. So one of my first TV gigs, one of the gentlemen that I work with, who shall remain nameless, definitely kissed me. And that was the last time we worked together. He was married, and spoiler alert, I'm gay. So that was kind of, it was awkward for those reasons, and also because it was completely inappropriate. So that was, it was unexpected. I thought that I was, going to a lunch with him. I was, I really respected his work and really wanted to learn from him, and I quickly learned that he, had other ideas of what our lunch was about. So that was a really great learning experience for me. I've since trusted my gut whenever I've, met someone and really thought, oh, I know that they could move my career along, but I'm getting kind of a vibe. You guys know what I'm saying. And this goes for guys as well, whether it be any kind of advances. Trust your gut, because if you're talented and you really want something enough, you don't need that person to get to where you need to and want to go. And then after that, I had another experience with someone right after I graduated that I had been actually hooked up with them through someone I trusted and really admired in the industry. And they said, oh, I think you should work with this person. So I said, okay, well, if they have your vote of approval, then they must be good. And things got kind of awkward there really quickly. All of a sudden, they wanted to do the shooting of our videos in their apartment. Again, it was the gut feeling. Like, I went with it again because, it came from this trusted source who I really appreciate and respect. And they've helped me, make some strides in my career, so if they're saying I should work with this person, I should probably work with them.
Right.
But then quickly, it became an uncomfortable situation. So I learned from both of those things, because when you're first starting out, we all want to get to that first big job, that first big break, that thing that's going to look great on our resume. Mm-hmm. We want it so bad that sometimes we don't trust our gut. And I think it just comes back to that. Trust your gut, because it never has, led me wrong so far.
Oh, that's good. I mean, I'll start trusting my gut real soon.
It's really hard, especially when you're first starting, because I think that passion, and I can see from you and from all of your classmates here, like, you want it so bad.
Yeah.
You're working your tail off to try to get that first radio or TV or job with the Warriors or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that passion and that desire can overshadow the fact that your gut's saying, hey, it's going to come. Just be patient.
Most definitely. So, I have done my research on you. Did a couple voiceovers.
Uh-oh.
So, most of my customers want to know, because some of them are into voiceovers and things of that nature. Was any vocal training needed for you to, work with males? Because I know you came to talk to Barry's class before, and you said that, women tend to have a very high-pitched voice, and you don't want to, offset the whole,
Sometimes
show.
That happens.
Yeah.
I'm lucky that I don't have that voice.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and I definitely did a lot of vocal training, actually. Mm-hmm. I was, as I said in Barry's class, blessed or graced with a deeper voice. But I've definitely done a lot of training. Voice One is a place in San Francisco that I went to. There's many other voice schools around the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. But, when people say you have a great voice, that's kind of your foundation. That's like if you know something about a sport, that's great. That's your foundation. But now you've got to learn a lot more, because just like everybody, who knows something about a sport isn't going to succeed in that sport. Same thing with your voice. So you really have to train it. And if you're looking to go into voiceover specifically, I was blown away by how difficult it is to get emotions across in your voice, in a 15 or 30 second spot, which is what you're doing most of the time.
Yeah.
If you're doing voiceover for radio or if you're doing it for TV, I had no idea how much work goes into that. You think, oh, that person just has a great voice and they go into the studio and work on it. But, I've done a couple of spots, as your research has.
Yeah.
We could be in the studio for 3 hours for a 15 second spot because,
wow.
You'll do the read and they'll say, okay, that didn't match that well with the music. I want you to sound a little more happy this time. Okay, now I want you, there was too much happiness in your voice. And you really have to, unless you do training, it's really hard to understand what that means without wanting to say, what the are you talking about? Like, that's my happy. Figure it out. Yeah. Deal with it. So it was great to learn how to do that and to kind of set yourself apart, to go from having a deep voice that's going to work in radio or television or whatever it is you want to do, and then training it to be better than those other voices that sound mm-hmm. like yours. And then it, in turn, I didn't plan for it to help, but it's really helped with my radio work, because in radio, the same thing. There's no visual most of the time, so you really have to use your voice to get across everything that you're feeling, whatever emotion it is you're feeling. And also, one of the things I do is updates for KNBR, and it's really easy when you're just reading scores or you're talking about stories to just instantly go into, and the Giants won last night 4-3, and Brandon Crawford hit another home run, and because you're reading, so it's really easy to fall into that trap of sounding like you're reading and being really boring when you need to keep people's attention and you need to accent the really important parts. You know, Brandon Crawford hit his 21st home run of the season. You have to figure out a way to do that. And in training for voiceover, I learned how to do all those things which people say that they like about my radio work. So another long answer. Feel free. Again, you can like pinch my knee or slap me or whatever you need to do if I'm talking too long.
The more details, the better.
Yeah. So train.
Yeah. Another question that, you know, my classmates would like to know is, why sports? Why not news or something different?
Oh, because sports, first of all, is the toy department of life. I'm sure you guys have all heard that, right? I'm not covering a war in Syria. I'm not, you know, dealing with famine in Africa. Like, this is easy compared to everything else. But also sports is always the main thing, is just that it's always been my passion. Since I was a little girl, my mom jokes with me all the time that before kindergarten, I used to take my little bowl of cereal when you could make your own breakfast and go out in my living room and turn on SportsCenter. So every morning before kindergarten, when everybody else was watching cartoons, I have no idea why, because both my parents casual sports fans, but it wasn't like I grew up with a dad or mom who was always watching sports. I was the one who found ESPN and wanted to watch everything, because when I was a kid, ESPN didn't have the rights to everything, and it's not the ESPN you guys know now. So I was watching like sailing and Aussie rules football and bowling, but I just loved it. I've always loved sports, and as I said, I played a bunch of sports, so it's just worked out that this has been what I wanted to do, and I've been able to kind of carve out a little niche so far. Yeah.
You mentioned that you played sports. Think that helped you gain knowledge and advancement in your career?
Yeah, definitely. It definitely did. It obviously helped me because I know all the rules of the games. That's huge. But mm-hmm. I think when you play a sport, it's not necessary, because there's plenty of people who I work alongside who didn't play the sports. They've always just loved them and wanted to be involved. But I think playing the sports gives you another level of knowledge, especially when you're doing, you know, sports radio mm-hmm. or when you have to be you have to analyze things and you have to have an opinion. So I know personally, the fact that I know what it's like to have been on the field or on the court or on the pitch or whatever, I can flash back to those memories of me actually being on those, you know, fields and pitches, and you know, when we're talking about the Warriors, I can be like, oh yeah, I remember that one game when that girl did that one move. And even though it was high school, you can still relate it because the game's the same on any level. They're just way better than I ever was. So that definitely helps. And it's also helped with the acceptance for me, getting back to your first question about the gender. I can talk about sports so fluently mm-hmm. because I played them, and that has really helped guys accept me in the industry, because the knowledge is the thing that they always test me on, and will test you ladies too, so be prepared for that. And a lot of times it is really a test. You know, when I was first working at KNBR, a lot of guys would, it seemed very random, and I quickly caught on to the fact that it was just a test, because we would just be hanging out and they'd be like, hey Kate, so Andre Iguodala, and that would be it. That would be like their hello for the morning. And I quickly realized that I was like, oh, okay, I need to say something and sound intelligent, and then kind of throw a question back at them so that they could see that I understood it. And then they would do it with, like, hilarious things like, yeah, so Alabama football, Nick Saban, what do you think? They'd, like, think that was out of left field because it wasn't, like, a Bay Area sport. So that just, you know, it's good to know and play if you can. And if not, just study sports like any other subject that you, you know, study in school. That's what I tell people now, too. You know, how did you learn how to talk so fluently about it? Well, it helped that I played. Yeah. But if you didn't play, if you're to this point where you're not playing, watch and read and listen to everything you can, so that just like any language, you can become fluent in it.
Yeah, for definitely, for sure. So another question is,
When did you realize it's just something you're good at? Ooh. I don't know. Thumbs up. Am I okay at this?
Hey, you're great.
Thank you. That was a cheap way to ask for a compliment. Thanks for filling that void for me, Danny. When did I first realize I was good at it? Well, I'm my own biggest critic, which I'm sure a lot of you are. Mm-hmm. You know, people can tell you you're doing something great, and then you listen back or read it back, and you're like, I should have changed that word. I can't believe I used that word so many times. It's such a crutch. That's so annoying. Drink. And so I think when I started to realize that I would have a chance in this industry was when people who I really respected and really looked forward to working with were then coming up to me and saying that they really appreciated what I was bringing to, you know, the radio station or the TV, because that's really the most important thing to me. It's great to be liked. It's great to have your audience relate to you and you know, tweet you positive things. But at the same time, there's going to be people that hate you and tweet you awful things all the same. And I've learned that there's not that much you can do about it. And it doesn't make sense why some people love you and at the same time why some people hate you for saying the exact same thing. But you can really work for the respect of the people that you work with, because then whether they love you or they hate you, they can still respect and appreciate the work you're putting in. So it was when, you know, people who write in the Bay Area and are in TV and radio, when those folks started coming up to me and saying, you know, I'm really glad you're here. I really like what you bring to KNBR. I saw you on TV last night. I thought you did a great job. That's when I started to kind of see, okay, there's a chance, so I better keep working my butt off. Don't let these people down.
So KNBR, how did you get to that position?
Well, I slept with... No, I'm kidding. That's the story you guys want to hear, right? Sorry, didn't happen. It's a roundabout way, and this is why I always tell kids, you may not always be with the organization that you want to work for when you start out in the industry, and it might not even seem like there's a connection between what job you have and how you're going to get to it, because I started my radio career doing news and traffic and sports, but I was mainly a traffic reporter, and most nights I wanted to stab myself in the eye with a fork because I was working from 3 to 11 p.m. while my friends were out on a Friday night having dinner and having a great time. And I was thinking, how in the world am I going to go from a traffic reporter to a sports reporter? Mm-hmm. Like, how is this going to happen? And I got some great advice from one of my mentors that said, make every report the best report that you've ever done, because you don't know when that one traffic report is going to be heard by the ESPN producer who just got off of a flight at SFO and is driving into San Francisco and is stuck in traffic and is going to say, wow, I really like that woman's voice. And it sounds crazy, but you hear those stories, right? I mean, you hear Samantha Potter, who works for ESPN. She thought she could get a job by working at one of the ESPN restaurants. And somehow she was serving at one of those restaurants, and someone from the company saw her, liked her, and that's how her career, you know, started. So crazy things happen.
Wow.
But anyway, to get back to your question, so I was doing traffic reporting. My wife was in grad school in San Francisco, and I told her, you know, as soon as you're done with grad school, I'm going to start sending out tapes, because in this industry, that means you got to move. And she said, yeah, I'm on board. So I started sending out my radio reel to a bunch of different stations. The Braves flagship in Atlanta contacted me, and I actually got really far along in talks with them and was ready to fly out to Atlanta. When out of nowhere, someone at KNBR up and left, which was crazy, because you get a job in a city like San Francisco, you guys see, everybody, we're all old. I feel old at this point, because you get there and it's like, great, I've got an on-air job in San Francisco, one of the top five markets in the country. I am staying until I die on the radio. So it was Friday night at like 10 p.m. I was still a traffic reporter at that point, and I get a call 10 p.m. on a Friday. I'm like, what is this number? Okay. They left a message. Thankfully, it was one of the people from Atlanta, which unbeknownst to me at the time, because this is how young and not paying attention I was, the overarching company, Cumulus, owned the Braves flagship in Atlanta, and they also own KNBR. And they said, hey, yeah, so you might have heard. So somebody on our station left this morning, and we were wondering if it would be possible for you to come in on Monday morning and maybe do some updates for us. And I was like, yes, when do you need me? Are you sure you don't need me tonight? Like, I can make it happen, whatever you need. And then for 2 months, it was really difficult because I wasn't sure if I was trying out for the Braves flagship and they just wanted to use this time at KNBR to hear me on air. Wasn't sure if I was trying out for KNBR. Wasn't sure what was going on. And I asked people, I told this story in various class, you know, and nobody would tell me, yeah, we're listening to you for the Braves job. Yeah, we're listening to you for the Giants station job. Nobody would tell me anything. So all I could do, getting back to the traffic story, was just do the best I could every single day. Mm-hmm. Try not to cry on air because I was so overwhelmed and stressed out. And just hope that somewhere down the line it would end up in something. And it turned out that after a number of months, the KNBR bosses called me into their office and said, how do you feel about staying here in San Francisco? So, yeah, crazy things.
So who do you credit your, who is your inspiration for, you know, going into your field?
For doing this.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty much. Or your continued inspiration to keep doing it.
Yeah. That's definitely changed over the years. When I was little, getting back to watching ESPN when I was a little girl, and I didn't know it at the time because you're young and you're just watching TV, right? But I remember always loving the sports centers when Linda Cohn and Robin Roberts, who's now huge on morning television, when they were anchoring. And I never really knew at that time why I loved watching those shows so much, because that was back when SportsCenter was great, when Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann, not that it's not anymore, and I would love to work for them, but it was different then. And I always gravitated to them. And then I realized as I got older, yes, I thought that was champagne. I got so excited.
Oh my God.
Yay, opening launch. I mean, I'm ready to go with the champagne. Anyway, so getting back to the question. So Linda Cohn and Robin Roberts were, I think, my first inspirations when I was a young girl. As I started to get older, Bonnie Bernstein, who I don't think too many people know probably because she's kind of behind the scenes now, but she was the Erin Andrews and Michelle Tafoya before those came around. Mm-hmm. She went to college in Maryland, and she was a great collegiate athlete, getting back to, you know, did playing a sport help you? And that helped her transition in, and she was the sideline reporter for, like, March Madness and big football games and big baseball games. She was everywhere, but she was really professional about it, and I loved how she was always in a suit jacket. She looked like someone I could relate to, and I think that matters. And that's one of the reasons I try to portray myself the way I do, because I want to be someone that when I was little, I would have looked up to me, and I can relate to me. So Bonnie was another one, and then as I've gotten older, you know, Michelle Tafoya, definitely, who everybody knows now with the football, and she went to Cal. Go Bears. Gosh, there's so many women now. The female play-by-play announcers. I hope to meet Jessica Mendoza, who, you know, broke big ground this baseball season.
Definitely.
Because she works at the Pac-12 Network, so I'm hoping to get on a softball broadcast with her this year. I've been dropping hints to the boss. We'll see if that happens. But I think that's one of the awesome things that I can look around, and there's so much more inspiration now than when I was little. It was Robin and Linda, and now I kind of have my choice of women to be inspired by. I think that's pretty cool, and I think that speaks to the progress, even though it's slow, but the progress that we're making in this industry.
Yeah. Definitely. I know a lot of women around here on Dominican campus love, you know, want to be sportscasters, want to be on TV, want to be on radio. Mm-hmm. I mean, particularly, would you like to be on TV? You know, like Rebecca Lobo or Cheryl Miller.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to do that?
Yeah, definitely. Rebecca Lobo, she was another one.
Yes.
I was all about UConn hoops when I was little, which is now hilarious because we're all supposed to hate UConn hoops, right?
Right.
But my mom's from Connecticut, so I had the UConn basketball I played with outside, and I was so excited because they said it was signed by Rebecca Lobo, and then I found out it was just one of those, like, printed signatures.
Oh.
Devastated. Worst Christmas ever. but, yeah, so that's what I'm trying to do now. I love radio. And I hope to be able to stay in it forever, because it's when you guys hopefully get the opportunity to work in all the different mediums within the industry, you'll find that they're all really different, even though you're covering whether it be news, sports, whatever topic you're covering, because radio is just about my knowledge, and I get to show a lot of personality as well. Mm-hmm. TV, usually not as much personality. Usually it's more straight reporting, and it's really you're talking at the audience. Even though TV stations are trying to bring in more tweets and more interaction, it's still harder than radio, where someone can tweet me as I'm talking, and then I can continue the conversation by saying, oh yeah, and look at Danny just weighed in and said, and same with taking calls. So I love the intimacy of radio and the fact that so many people say, yeah, you're a part of my day. Like, it wouldn't be the same if I wasn't driving to work listening to you. I feel like I know your whole family. Whereas TV, you don't really have that.
Right.
But obviously there's more money in TV.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, there's more money in TV, guys. But only if you get, you know, high up, still working for that. Still in the one-bedroom apartment right now. But also, just it's a different challenge. And I love challenges, and I get bored really easily, which I'm sure a lot of you do. So my dream would be to do radio and TV and to get back into print as well, because I love writing and I love the different challenges that that provides. And I think that when you're doing a bunch of different things at once, mm-hmm. I think that just like playing a bunch of different sports at once, yeah. I think it makes all of you better. I think it makes you a more whole athlete or a more whole broadcaster when you're challenging yourself in different ways. Yeah,
definitely. Do you particularly have a favorite sport that you like to talk about more than another? Well, I like basketball.
I had no idea that the basketball player at Dominican likes to talk about basketball. But yeah, I love talking about soccer. That's the sport that I played competitively growing up. So I love to talk about that. Unfortunately, it's not as popular of a sport to be talked about as some of the other ones. So I love talking about that. I love talking about college football, which same thing, even though, you know, Stanford's just one of the top teams in the nation for an umpteenth time, which is hard for me as a Cal fan.
Yeah.
But we were talking off air earlier. College football doesn't get as much run here in the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. People, I think, are distracted by the 49ers and the Raiders and stuff. So love talking about those sports. But I also love talking about every sport because I get paid to talk about them, which is just crazy. Yeah. It's crazy, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah.
Your thoughts on the Niners, though?
Oh, man.
And benching Colin Kaepernick there.
I transitioned us into that, didn't I? Well,
yep.
So you guys know, anybody who's played a sport or who's mm-hmm. watched a sport, sometimes you start to, I don't know, if taking things for granted probably isn't the exact right phrase for it, but you get comfortable in a role.
Yeah.
Because it's yours. And if there's no competition to push you, you don't realize that maybe your performance has taken a step back.
Yeah.
And that goes for everything. It goes for radio and stuff. But since we're talking about the 49ers, and I think one of the reasons Colin was so great at the beginning was because Alex Smith was right there at him. He had taken Alex's job, and Colin knew that if he messed up, Alex was going to be right there in there starting.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, it looks like we're maybe wrapping things up a little bit. So. I don't know what's going on with the 49ers. I wish I knew because I've been a 49ers fan for my whole life. Yeah. And now I'm watching the Raiders occasionally because Derek Carr is from Fresno and I'm from Fresno.
Patriots all the way.
Go Dogs. Hopefully they'll turn it around because it is insane how 2 years ago they were being looked at as a team that would compete with the Seahawks for the next decade. And now it's... Are they even going to finish the season with a full team?
Yeah, most definitely.
Good times.
Yeah, so we actually have some of our reporters and the people hanging out here at the launch party who have some questions for you.
Awesome.
So first we have Frankie who has a question for you.
Uh-oh. I have a feeling Frankie's going to bring the heat.
He's smiling too much.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Frankie. How are you?
I'm good. I saw you speak in Barry Tompkins' class last week. So I just want to know, you were talking about how you love writing and you love radio and you love TV. I had a question, not worrying about the money at all. If you had to pick one selectively that you had to do for the rest of your life, which mm-hmm. one would you choose?
Ooh, see, he is bringing the heat. I knew that was going to happen. Okay, if money wasn't a thing, I would probably, since we're on the radio right now, I would probably say radio because of a few things. One, I don't have to wear any makeup or do my hair, and I can literally go in sweats, which, thanks to you guys, I actually had to put on makeup today. Thanks a lot, guys. It was really difficult, those 15 minutes. But it's really nice as a woman to not have to worry about what I look like,
mm-hmm.
And that it's solely on my knowledge. And getting back to what I said, knowledge and personality, which are kind of my two favorite things. I love being able to show my personality and joke around with people because it is the toy factory of life. It is sports. So even when serious stuff happens, hopefully you can most of the time make a joke about it. And because of the intimacy of the medium, I love getting to, like, this could be a call right now on the radio. And I love that because it creates a connection between the audience that I don't think you have in TV or in print. There's kind of that detachment, and I just love people. That's one of the big reasons I do this as well. So yeah, radio would be my answer to that
Thank
question.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks for asking.
So you love people. So you have to be a people person to get into this
type of film.
Oh, no, believe me. There's some people that I work with in this industry who really turn it on and turn it off. And okay. I am blown away. Like, I'll meet them at a cocktail party and want to talk to them because I'll love their work. And it could just be an off night for them. Maybe they just don't want to turn it on that night. Maybe something, because you never know. Maybe they had a bad day. Maybe something awful happened to their family. And I'm like, you work in television or you work in radio. And where is that person? Because that person is not that right now.
Right.
I think I'm pretty much me all the time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's plenty of people, especially in certain jobs. Like, I've met some play-by-play announcers. I've met some reporters who are really just really straight-laced and really that's their job, and they've always wanted to do it and they're going to do it. But getting back to the fact that there's not as much personality, you don't have to express as much personality in those jobs unless you want to. That not everybody's a people person.
Yeah,
and that's
I'm
okay.
Not.
That's okay. So all you non-people people out there, easy for me to say. There's hope for you yet.
All right, so we have another question here from Syrah, who is one of the editors here at the DU Beat. And remember, you guys, you're listening to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu.
Thank you, Chloe.
Yeah, Penguin Radio.
Yes.
I love penguins.
Thanks, Chloe. Kate, my question would be, where do you get your energy from? I know being in media and working in that environment, it's stressful. It takes a lot out of you. What are some of your tips to keep your energy up?
Well, coffee is one. that's the easy answer. But I think, another great question, by the way, thank you. I think a lot of it gets back to that cliche answer that everybody tells you about when you're trying to figure out what you want to do with life. Try to do something you love, because I really do love this. And I really do, when my alarm goes off at 3 a.m. to go into work, oftentimes, at least one day a week, I'm thinking to myself, what am I doing? Why am I waking up in the middle of the night? It's freezing in my apartment. And then I think to myself, oh, because I'm getting paid to talk about sports on the radio. And just like that, the energy comes back. And I remember that this is what I want to do, and I love it. And I'm so lucky, because there's so many other people who would give anything to do this for a job. That's where that energy and that spirit comes from. And also, I think I'm just lucky that I'm kind of just like an energetic person. So it's kind of natural for me to be upbeat and wanting to interact with people. Getting back to I'm a people person. I love interacting with people. So I get joy out of that. I thrive off of that. And then, kind of like anything, when you're doing something you like and something good happens, then you kind of get more energy from that. And then something else good happens, you get more energy from that. So that's not to say that there's not low points. And there's some days where I definitely have to fake the energy. That's another thing I learned through my voiceover classes, because there are days where you go in and you are so tired. You stayed up late the night before because the Giants are in the playoffs and it's awesome, but they didn't end their game until midnight and your show is still on the radio at 5 a.m. and you have to wake up and be excited that the Giants won last night in 25 innings. And that's what you just learn. That's part of being a professional. You learn to fake it on the radio for sports or something.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Kate.
Thanks for the question.
It.
Definitely. I know when I have to go into the radio station to talk on my radio show, I'm kind of talking like this, and then I have to be like, you know, prep it up a little bit, Danny. Cause
yeah, you do. To. And that was something I learned actually right when I started at KNBR, too, getting back to delivery and stuff. My boss, I told him to give me lots of critique when I was starting, and certain mornings he would text me and say, pump up your energy, you sound tired, because especially as a morning show on radio, you're waking people up. People are waking up with you, or people are driving home from their late night job and they want to stay up. The only reason people are listening to radio at that time is because they need to be awake.
Definitely.
Some people like you, but most people just are trying to wake up or stay awake. So you need to provide that energy, whether it be natural or whether you're faking it. So
my teammate, Sandy Ikiora here, has a question for you.
What's up, Sandy? So should I ask Sandy how you played last night?
Oh, definitely.
See what the line was and all that stuff?
Hi, Kate. I'm Sandra, Danny's teammate.
Hey, Sandra.
My question is, what would you say to someone aspiring to get into the field, like young women like myself and like Danny Azalea? You know? What would you be, like, your advice to us?
Advice. Okay. Well, I could go on for a long time, so I will try to pare this down. Thank you for the question, Sandra. The first is to be ready to work really, really hard. Really hard. Because I've, to be completely honest, I've been a little bit disappointed with certain people who I've spoken with recently, because I obviously love mentoring. I love doing stuff like that. I love that you guys asked me to be here today, because I really want to do whatever I can to get more women and guys, just get more people into this industry that really want to do it. But I've spoken to a couple of people that I've had coffees with your age, and have asked them, okay, you know, are you willing to move wherever? If you know, a newspaper job opens in Philly, or a TV job comes up in Yakima, Washington. I definitely applied for that job and was turned down years ago. But, you know, that's a big part of this industry. And they say, no, I'm just going to stay here in the Bay Area. And I say, okay, well, what about, you know, nights and weekends? How do you feel? You know, what's going on there? Well, I mean, I guess I could do that. But if possible, I'd like to work 9 to 5. And it's hard for me, because I'm a brutally honest person, but it's hard for me not to say, so you probably shouldn't be in this industry, because news breaks whenever the heck it wants to break. Mm-hmm. And every sport is played at night. So if you're working in TV sports, you're working until midnight, 1 a.m., or you're waking up at the you-know-what of dawn, like I do, because everyone wants to hear about those sports first thing in the morning. So, and if you don't want to move, good luck getting started in the number 4, you know, radio market in the country. I've been so lucky, and I never take that for granted, that I've been able to stay here so far in my career and work my way up. I was, like I said, ready to move to Atlanta, ready to move to Yakima, Washington, and I'm still ready to move, because that's just how it happens. So be ready to work crazy hours. Be ready. I've missed so many friends' weddings and birthdays, and I've had friends yell and scream at me about missing things, and thankfully most of them have come around and understood now that I've been doing this for so long. Oh yeah, I understand why you had to do that time, because this is so important to you, and because it's so competitive, and because it's what you really want to do. Okay, I get it now. And people who didn't, you know, no longer friends with me. But
yeah.
So be ready to work crazy hours, crazy days, and be ready to also work, like I said, traffic reporting. Be ready to do things that may not be exactly what is your dream job at that time, mm-hmm. but it's going to help you get a foot in the door, because that's the other part of my short advice, is it's all about connections.
Right.
I can honestly say that every job I've gotten to this point, and I've worked a fair amount actually, even though I'm still consider myself fairly young in this industry, not one of the jobs I've gotten has been posted online until literally after I had gotten the job. They just kind of had to post it to go through the motions of saying that it was open to everybody. But every job I have gotten was because I knew someone, or someone knew me, had listened to me on the radio or seen me on TV and said, you know, that Kate Scott girl, I think she might be right for this position. Let's call her. And out of the blue have gotten calls. Hey, I heard you like soccer. Who's this? Yes, I do love soccer. What's going on? So make as many connections as you can, and Danny's a great example of that. I came and spoke at Barry's class last year. Barry Tompkins, a good friend of mine, and I always, it's kind of a challenge that I do at the end of classes, say, hey, you know, keep in touch. I'd love to keep in touch with you guys, help you however you can. My email's on my website if you want to stay in touch. And you'd be blown away by how few kids follow up on that. And granted, people probably, if you don't like the person who's that person who, you know, puts out stay in contact with me, no problem. Getting back to, you have to have a connection with that person. But then follow up. Danny emailed me, has stayed in touch about what she's been doing, then asked me to come to this class. Make an impact on that person so they remember you. Even if they can't remember your whole name. I mean, I was kind of like, Danny. Oh, yeah, I remember. You know, and it's going to take a while. And then ask that person out to coffee and do research on them so mm-hmm. you can have some questions. Because I don't know how many coffees I've been to with students who have said, yeah, so I really like you on the radio. And then I've had to leave the conversation for 30 minutes. I'm like, well, if you like me, thank you. What do you want to know? I really want to help you. You obviously care about this. You've reached out to me. You've taken time out of your day to have coffee with me. How can I help you? What do you want to know? Don't ask for a job. Just, you know, look on, everything's on the internet these days.
Pretty much.
Do exactly what Danny's doing right now. How did he get that job at KNBR? What are the things you've faced? Just have a conversation so that when I leave, if nothing else, I go, that girl or that guy really seems to care about this industry. They really took their time in caring about this moment that they spent with me. Okay, Danny. Okay, I'm going to remember that name. And then stay in touch with that person, because all those contacts are going to come back around. And a lot of them for me have been not in the sports industry. I've had lunches and coffees with people who, at the time, I was thinking to myself, I have no idea how this is going to help me or if it's ever going to help me. And that's another thing. Don't always go in with, I know this person is going to help me, so I need to have this lunch. Yeah. I had a friend's dad was like, you're getting into the journalism industry. You need to have lunch with Peter. He works for ABC News, and he's a producer. And I'm thinking to myself, right, but I want to get into sports and probably not going to be doing it for a national network like ABC. I have no idea how this is going to help me. He's been one of my mentors for like 10 years, and he has connected me with so many people in the sports industry, and he has helped me out so much. We literally go to lunch and just talk. We don't talk about sports or about news. He tells me about assignments he's been on, and I learn from just listening to him, and he learns about, you know, what the kids these days, I guess if you can call me a kid, are doing. So we help each other out, but he is one of those people who a friend of his will say, I'm looking for a so-and-so to do this. And he'll think, and I'm in his, you know, brain database now of reporters he knows.
Nice.
And he'll say, oh, yeah, I have a friend, Kate. Maybe you should reach out to her. So be willing to work really hard and crazy hours and crazy days, and then make connections. And I think if you're willing to do those things, that you'll create a really great base for yourself to go from there.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Those are definitely great advice. And I look forward to seeing you sometime soon. And I'm Sandra. And...
She's my teammate. She's
girl.
My teammate.
Way to go.
Thank you.
Definitely. Thank you. Great
question. I know my piece of advice you gave to Barry's class was that, you know, just take any job you can. If it's cleaning toilets or it's like sweeping up, whatever, just take whatever job you can to get yourself established in the industry at first. And then also a piece of advice my mom gave me is to dress for the job you want, not for the job you have. So mm-hmm. I take that to heart.
I try to pass that on to some of the guys I work with now, but they don't listen.
Like, yeah.
I really love your hair, but do you think maybe you could cut it a little bit? Not you, but I mean some of the people I work with. Yeah, oh, yeah. That's totally true.
Oh, and my hair, my mom killed me.
but just kind of piggybacking on that, you know, get your foot in any way you can. That's not the only thing you need to do, as I'm sure you guys already know, but get that foot in the door. But then getting back to what I just said about the contact lunches, make an impact while you're there. Because just because you're there isn't going to mean anything to people. But be sweeping the floors, be working in the mailroom, be answering phone calls at a radio station, and be making an impact every single day. Hey, what can I do for you? Is there anything I can get you? Can I help with this? Can you teach me how to do that? Do you need me to stay late to help out with this? Mm-hmm. Set yourself apart from the other people who are there with you so that they will, like Sandra, remember your name.
that's my teammate.
That was great. Hello, I just want to thank you for answering my question. I was Sandra, by the way.
That was great. That's my teammate.
She do that at practice too? Is she like, could you pass me the ball, please? I'm Sandra.
No, definitely no. Not. I think she'd be on the bench if you did that.
Be funny though.
Yeah, for sure. So I know you work for the Pac-12 Network. How's that going for you?
It's awesome. It's been really great. I've only been there for about 3 weeks or a month now, so it's been crazy. But every company is different, and the Pac-12 is now in its fourth year. And it's getting back to the energy. There's such a great energy about it. And a lot of the people that work there, we all – not many people see that as our end goal. Mm-hmm. So there's this great, like, collaborative, how can I help you get better at what you're doing right now? What can I do to help you get to where you want to go next? So I love that collaborative energy. I love there's great diversity there, which is really wonderful. Guys, girls, people of all different ages, colors, races, sexual orientations, it is awesome. And everybody is really supportive. And I'm getting to do something that I've been wanting to do for a long time, which is play-by-play, mm-hmm. which not very many women are doing. So I'm so grateful for that opportunity, and I'm going to try really hard not to F it up.
So last question, because we're wrapping it up here.
Because I've talked forever.
No. I've been enjoying myself.
You can say yes, it's okay.
No, I've been enjoying myself. I'd rather you talk than me.
No,
I'd rather
back
hear
to
your
the vocal
voice.
Training, that's totally yeah. the yes, no. We know, no. right?
Nah.
Honey, how was your day? It was good.
Gotta have that vocal
Guys,
variety.
It doesn't mean that was good. That means it was bad. Ask again.
No.
Okay, sorry. I'm sorry.
Okay, last question.
Having too much
oh,
fun.
My goodness, Kate. What are your future goals? Just, you know, after, you know, Pac-12
World
Network.
Domination.
Most definitely.
No, I'm kidding. although I do say that to people when they ask me what goals are. But right now, and this is something I think I said in Barry's class, mm-hmm. have your eye on a goal, have a goal or two goals, but always be prepared for those goals to change. Because I know mine have changed so many times since I was in college. I sent out a bunch of tapes right after I graduated from Cal because I was sure that I was going to be a sports reporter in a tiny market. And then all of a sudden, I found radio and I fell in love with it. And now I'm here. So so my goal for the future right now is I would love to be doing national television, national radio, and also have some form of print out there, be it a column, online, in a magazine, for a newspaper. So that is my goal, which kind of gets to the world domination thing. Because I love, as I said, doing all of them. I really think it's important to be as good at as many different things as you can with so many companies these days downsizing. Mm-hmm. Make yourself really hard to fire.
Yeah.
That's another part of advice I give to people. If you can only edit audio, you're going to be a lot easier to fire than the person who can edit audio, produce a show, knows how to run a board, can host their show, can do updates for the radio station, and also maybe has done a couple of promo events. So if they needed someone to go out to the Giants and hand out flyers, you could do that too.
Yeah.
You're going to be a lot harder to fire. So that's why it helps that I have a passion for all three. But I just kind of want to do everything for as long as I can. And hopefully get some sleep in there, maybe.
Yeah, pretty much. Sleep
maybe.
Is important.
Maybe. That's what coffee's for.
That is what coffee's for.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming out here today, Kate. Thank you for taking your time and your energy and your busy, crazy schedule that you have. And also thank you, Danny, for the wonderful questions that you had prepared for Kate today. And thank you to our other reporters who asked Kate some wonderful questions.
Great questions, yeah.
And I hope both of you have a wonderful day. And remember that you are listening to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu.
Thanks,
this
Kate.
This is the DU Beat Launch Party.
And that concludes our broadcast for tonight. For today. I'm already fast forwarding to later. That concludes our broadcast for today. And thanks for tuning in. And everyone who came out, we really appreciate it. Check out the DominicanBeat.org.
And I just want to put a shout out to Kate Scott, who was here earlier. We had a wonderful interview with her. And I want to shout out to any of the reporters that were on the radio earlier and all of the interviews that we had. And thank you for anyone who writes for the DU Beat. And remember, you can submit stories. You don't have to be in the class itself. And this has been the DU Beat Launch Party here live at Calarega Plaza.
This has been Penguin Radio here at radio.dominican.edu. Thanks for joining us here. Enjoy your fine day.
Thank you for listening to the Dominican Beat Launch Party broadcast. This was brought to you by Penguin Radio. To check out the Dominican Beat, visit thedominicanbeat.org. For more information about Penguin Radio, visit radio.dominican.edu.